Good morning and welcome to the April 29th Land Use and Sustainability Committee. I'm Commissioner Mark Samulin, honored to be the chair of this committee. I'm joined today by my colleagues, Commissioner Areola and Commissioner Gongora. Also, special guest appearance from Commissioner Minor. We welcome guests. Thank you, Commissioner Minor, for joining us. And of course, our able and capable staff team is with us as well. Part of the reason we have these committees is to allow substantial public comment. And so we invite the public to raise its hand or star nine on any item. Please raise your hand when that item is being heard and trust that we will call on you and look forward to your comments. Just to manage time, we typically allow 2 minutes unless there's a special circumstance. Dial-in information here for everyone, toll-free, 888-475-4499. And if you are Zooming, you want to have this ID number, 869-103-5646. At the risk of jinxing us, I think we have a relatively manageable agenda, but I say that at our own risk, and we'll see what we could do. So, Tom Mooney, do you have any announcements for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that you are going to be deferring to the May Land Use Committee meeting item two regarding the update on various projects, including West Avenue, Indian Creek, Palm and Hibiscus, and First Street, as well as deferring item three regarding litter getting into the city stormwater drains. Both of those would be deferred to the May Land Use Committee. Item number seven was a late deferral. It was going to come out on supplemental, but this was an ordinance amending Chapter 126. This will be deferred to the May Land Use Committee. And I believe, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but the sponsor wanted to defer item six, which is discuss the environmental impacts of the Urban Forestry Master Plan, to the May meeting.
That was my understanding, Tom, but if the sponsor has any concerns with that, certainly would welcome his.
Yeah, we had agreed to defer item seven. It just seems to make sense to discuss them together next month. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
All right. So we'll note that item six is also being deferred to the May Land Use Committee meeting.
That's great, Tom. You're making it even more straightforward for us. So just recapping, correct me if I'm wrong, items 2, 3, 6, and 7 are deferred.
Correct.
Wonderful. Okay, let's take it from the top, folks. Item one, Ocean Drive, MXE regulations, options to expedite CUP applications. Tom, it says planning. So if I may, could you please give us a little overview of this item?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. As the committee may recall, we were discussing the larger MXC use regulations item at the February 17th Land Use Committee meeting. And as part of that discussion, the Land Use Committee asked the administration separate and apart, to explore different ways that the CUP process could potentially be expedited, and to come back to the Land Use Committee in either March or April. And so we put our heads together and looked at a number of different ways that we could potentially expedite the CUP process. We came up with two ideas that are in the memo. And one of them would be to codify a process for owner-operator changes for certain types of projects, so that not all changes require a full application process and notice just for a change of owner operator. And as an example, we require now that whenever there's a change of owner operator for a CUP, that they come back to the planning board to acknowledge all of the conditions and to provide an update on the operation. This is critically important for neighborhood impact establishments, outdoor entertainment establishments, entertainment establishments, basically those uses that have a much greater public impact. But it may not be as necessary for more docile uses such as small religious institutions or small ALFs. And so one of the things that we could potentially do is modify that. The other thing we could do is modify the CUP requirements for certain types of non-entertainment uses. So, for instance, if you are just a restaurant, but your offload exceeds 300 persons, perhaps the requirements won't be as onerous. We try to be very judicious currently with regard to CUP applications. Not every CUP application is going to have to submit a traffic study or a circulation study or even a sound study. It really depends upon the nature of their operation. The other thing that's important to point out is that our consultant who is spearheading the update of our land development regulations currently is going to be looking at this as well as a number of other facets of our code. And so we would recommend that if the land use committee would like these two items or any other suggestions regarding the expediting of the CUP process to move forward, that they move forward as part of the LDR update as opposed to a separate ordinance. So we're recommending that the item be discussed and concluded with direction to the administration to include the recommendations for expedited CUP review as part of the LDR update currently being proposed. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that, Tom. Let me check the virtual dais here and see if either of any of my colleagues have any questions or comments. Don't see any at this point. And I don't see any comments from the public. So let me start. I think this is exactly the type of conversation and dialogue that we wanted to have. I think there's some good ideas, but it also sounds like we have some ongoing work to address it. And so I tend to be inclined to accept the administration's recommendation, let these ideas be included as part of the process. That's my initial reaction, but let's see what Commissioner Gongora has to say.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the administration recommendation is a good one. The only thing I'd like to get is a time frame for the updating of the resiliency code and when we can expect to see these ideas back fleshed out.
We sent out an LTC recently regarding the current status of our code update. Our plan is to make a brief introduction of our resiliency code project team to the commission, hopefully at the May 12th city commission agenda. We have been actively engaged with our consultants since late last year. We are going to begin the process of focus groups and community outreach starting sometime in May, and that'll occur in the coming months. We hope to have a draft ready by fall, and we hope to have a completed draft ready for commission review by early next year.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Arriola.
Yeah, Tom, as part of that outreach, we're going to be talking to businesses as well, right? I think it's important for us to talk to the users, the people that are affected by our CUP process and, you know, glean from them, you know, the things that we're doing right and the things that we can improve on and take that feedback, because if it's just you know, a bunch of, you know, government people designing this, it may not meet the needs of the city, of the customers. So I think it's important to just pull the business community and see what we could be doing better.
Yes, Commissioner, to that point, the business community is going to be a big part of our focus group outreach. And so we will definitely be reaching out to them, not just about the CUP, but about all facets of the code. Their input will be a very important part of this process.
Commissioner Arriola, anything else? You're okay? I'm sensing that we have a degree of consensus to accept the administration recommendation. Yeah, sounds it. Seeing no objections, colleagues, let's show that done by acclamation that we'll accept the administration's recommendations and look forward to hearing them assessed, analyzed, incorporated as appropriate in the resiliency code. Okay, that concludes item number one. Next item is item number four, a discussion around potential loopholes, rooftop height and floor area. I'll tee this up as I sponsored the discussion. I think what generated some of these questions was the project on Terminal Island. I think there were a couple specific questions. One is, you know, people heard a certain height and then they learned that with the roof, the height was materially different, and that raised questions. Then people heard about uses and activations on the roof, and that raised a series of questions related to FAR. So I thought it was appropriate to dialogue about, one, do we need to make any changes? And two, make sure that we're all, you know, dealing with the proper facts in terms of, you know, what can and can't be done. So the purpose is to sort of level set how this works today, and are there any changes we would make either citywide or on a neighborhood specific basis. So with that, Tom, if I could recognize you to sort of walk us through our place.
Sure. First off, with regard to, because I know there was some concern expressed about the Terminal Island project, as the committee is aware, the commission recently adopted some amendments to the LDRs regarding height limits on Terminal Island, and they increased the overall height to 75 feet. An office project was recently approved by both the Planning Board and the Design Review Board for that office project. And it's a fairly narrow tower because the FAR on Terminal Island is only 1.0. And so they did utilize a 75-foot height limit. Overall height, as you're aware, is measured from base flood elevation plus maximum freeboard. So when you start the measurement of the height of that office project that was approved for Terminal Island, it's about 5 to 10 feet above what grade is. Because we're taking the number from base flood elevation plus 5 feet of freeboard. So from grade, and architects will always put all the different measurement numbers there, as measured from grade, it was close to 90 feet above grade. It's 75 feet in total height as measured from base flood elevation from freeboard, but when you measure it from a lower elevation, the top is obviously higher. When you add on to that the maximum allowable height exceptions, which were proposed for rooftop mechanical screening and rooftop mechanical elements, those particular areas also added 25 feet of additional height to that. So no portion of the Terminal Island project exceeded what the maximums are in the code. But when you measure that from the lowest possible grade, it comes across as higher, but it's really not, because measurements are taken from base flood elevation plus freeboard. With regard to the rooftop, my staff has made it clear to the applicants at Terminal Island, both as part of the pre-application meetings, and we repeated this at the DRB meeting, within the rooftop area, the only thing that can occur on that rooftop is seating. There cannot be kitchens. There cannot be back of house. Bathrooms are an allowable height exceptions, but those bathrooms do count in the FAR. And the areas that have been designated for either mechanical rooms or mechanical elements with screening will only be able to be used for that. And the building permit plans will have to reflect that. So it's really no different than any other rooftop that has been approved for activation throughout the city. From a practical standpoint, that rooftop is probably not going to be able to be a functional restaurant, because it's exceedingly difficult to ferry food from the floor below on a continuous basis. You may very well have seating up there where people go up there to wait for a table, but in terms of back of the house and kitchen, that's just not permitted, and that won't be up there. With regard to the proposal herein, as noted in the staff report, we did take a look at some of the suggestions provided in the emails by some of the residents, and we believe that the code as presently written should not be modified. And the reason for that is because the height exceptions that are currently in the code provide for a very careful balance between what the functional needs of a building are, the requirements of the Florida Building Code, and the ability to utilize that rooftop. The overall height limit of 25 feet for some of these exceptions is not that often achieved, and only when absolutely necessary. And I have discussed this with the building official. There are a number of mechanical elements that sometimes do require a maximum height of 25 feet above the roof line or the main roof slab, particularly when you take into consideration that a lot of these are raised off the roof slab and a lot are becoming more energy efficient. Most of the other exceptions, like restrooms, stairwells, elevator overruns, they're typically no higher than they need to be, because a developer is not going to want to spend a lot of extra money just building something higher for the sake of building something higher. So we've recommended that there not be any modifications to either the height exceptions or the definition of FAR. With regard to individual neighborhoods, if there are concerns about the activation of roof decks, we believe that that's better addressed on an individual neighborhood by neighborhood basis. South of Fifth has done that. Sunset Harbor has done that. There is even some rooftop limitations that are specific to the West Avenue overlay on the west side of West Avenue. And actually, the commission modified those recently in order to accommodate an outdoor movie theater. We think that that's moving forward a much better way to address any concerns, as opposed to just modifying the height exceptions overall citywide. With that, the administration recommends that the LUSC discuss this item, but that it be concluded with no further action.
And thank you for that, Tom. You directly hit a couple of the points that I wanted to cover off on. I do want to focus more on the rooftop, but just so for clarity on height, I think I understand, and we're not talking project specific, we're talking more generally, but if we're talking about an allowable height of, say, 75 feet, and that's what people sort of hear, if the roof's another 25 to the top of the roof, the project could be 100 feet. In round numbers, is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay. So that's where I think the potential for miscommunication or misunderstanding has surfaced. Let's focus a little bit more on the roof. Could you talk a little bit about what uses typically are allowed on the roofs, which ones are prohibited, rooftop activation? Could you give us a little more detail on that?
Most of the rooftop activation we see is passive deck space as common area, or it could be private deck space for a residential unit below. The communal open space is typically for a condominium or an apartment building or even an office building. Sometimes these include things like pools and jacuzzis, those types of recreational elements. If an open roof deck is not at the maximum allowable height, then you can begin to add other things like kitchens and cabanas, but those are not considered rooftop exceptions because those are being placed in a portion of the open roof deck that is not at the maximum allowable height. Once a building has achieved its maximum allowable height, anything above the roof deck must qualify as an exception. And these would be things like swimming pools, jacuzzis, open decks. And if there's going to be any type of coverage, it's typically in the form of an awning or a trellis that is substantially open. Those are the main types of things that we see there. There are some commercial projects that may have seating areas on the roof deck where people may decide to go up there and experience the views for a rooftop. But things like kitchens and back of house and office space are not permitted as an allowable height exception. So if the roof deck is above the maximum allowable height, you won't see elements like that.
Thank you for that, Tom. Let me see if there's any comments here in the virtual dais and or in the public. Okay. Seeing that there are none at this point, I believe that that you've completely clarified sort of what the height question was. And I actually tend to agree with your leaning, Tom, that at this moment, there's not a case for citywide change. What I have heard, and the initial inquiries came from West Avenue. And so what I would like to do is continue the item to next month. allow the opportunity for the West Avenue community to better and more fully articulate any concerns they have more about rooftop uses, and then see if we would then bring that back to our next discussion. So that's my inclination. But let's see, I now do see a hand from the public. So let me recognize the public, and then we'll go from there. Gail Durham, you're recognized for 2 minutes, please.
Oh, hello there. My name is Gail Durham. I live on West Avenue, and Alton Road is in my backyard. And I guess the goal is to prohibit rooftop bars and restaurants along Alton Road because it faces all of our condominiums. It's right across the alley, 20 feet. And the second thing I wanted to mention is a setback, because if you put all the buildings on Alton Road right up against the sidewalk with no setback, you know, it creates that like canyon effect. So other neighborhoods have this. They have, it's called a setback of the setback, you know, like after the first floor, then the building goes back 10 feet, and then it goes up to the second floor, and then it goes back another 10 feet. So in general, you know, we're just trying to keep our neighborhood resident friendly. There's 10,000 people in my neighborhood, and we just see this happening, that there's activated rooftops, and there's no way to stop it except maybe a conditional use permit, which, you know, usually those things are like rubber stamped, and developers receive those pretty easily. So if it could be codified in the LDR to not have those activations on the roofs. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Gail. Daniel Seraldo is recognized. Daniel.
Thank you. Yes, Daniel Seraldo with the Miami Design Preservation League. I just wanted to mention an idea regarding the Alton Road is, and Tom Mooney will know about this too. Several years ago on the east side of Alton Road, there was an overlay made so that the newer buildings had some additional setbacks, and it made it more compatible with the adjacent neighborhood. So one example is the Baptist Health Building, where, you know, on Alton, it's a pretty dominant kind of view as far as height, but then it does sort of set back as it goes east. So possibly in addition to looking at those height questions, West Avenue and Alton Road on the west side can look at that overlay. And another thing I've heard is as far as the new buildings, the massing of the buildings, could they better reflect a little more the sort of original property lines? When you look at the new 1212 Alton building, it's like one giant building, and maybe there are design guidelines that could be added to make the new construction more compatible with the established neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Wayne Roberts.
Mark Sandlin, I failed to address you yesterday when I said my three favorite, because I didn't even know you were on that committee. You know, you're up there as like the premium commissioner representing the residents. And I thank you for your efforts. Alton Road is such a special place for residents. And I'm very, very concerned because if you stand on the corner of 17th and Alton and you look at the recent construction closest to Lincoln Road, you see what the future will hold for Miami Beach. It's rather cold. It isn't what Miami Beach represents. And, you know, there's talk of extending that all the way down, actually higher than even that level. It's incredible, all the way to 5th. And it's going to, you know, and what's being put in there is not supporting residential needs. The Baptist Annex Hospital is a good example of something that's good for the community, the residents. But most of what's being put up there is not, it's either for tourism, which doesn't belong in Elton, or office space, which will bring in, you know, huge amounts of traffic. You know, 95% of our workforce that work for the city, you know, commute to the city. I can only imagine what the workforce on Elton would be. You know, thousands and thousands of cars, and it's already congested with the recent changes to the tourist areas, so that they're using Elton to bypass that, plus the height increases that exist to drive more traffic. So be very careful. You know, there are a lot of things that are being done in the city without thinking, and it's driven by special interests and not good planning. I'm very, very concerned. Thank you.
Okay, I thank you for all of those comments. I believe that's the public comments. And so again, I think this discussion really now more succinctly is more neighborhood specific than citywide. And Tom, I've got three things I want to sort of tee up. First, a couple of the residents mentioned the Alton Road height increase. Could you just describe where in the process that item is?
There's a proposal that is going to be going to the planning board on May 25th that would allow for a height increase for office uses along the west side of Alton Road. That was reviewed by the Land Use Committee at last month's meeting. You had made a few additional changes. One of them was removing the east side of Alton Road. The other was to ensure that any bonus for residential as part of a height increase for office would not include short-term rentals. That ordinance actually does include some provisions regarding additional height exceptions and setbacks, but that would only be applicable to an office project that proposes to take advantage of the height incentives. It wouldn't be applicable to just a regular development project that doesn't do that. But that would, assuming the planning board transmits that on May 25th, that would be coming to you for first reading on June 23rd.
Okay.
The full commission.
And the two issues that were teed up are setbacks and sort of rooftop activation. As it relates to that legislation, could you talk a little bit more about the setback requirements?
There's an additional setback that's required for the upper floors from the west side of the property. So that way, if there is additional height, it will be closer to the Alton Road side, which would be the east side of that property, and moved away from the RM1 and RM2 areas that would be across the alley.
Okay. And in terms of rooftop activations, could you just describe, you know, there was concern from the residents that there could be activations of the rooftop causing noise, impacting the quality of life. And I guess there's two cases. One, if there is the height increase, and two, if there's not. Could you just give us a little overview of that?
Currently, for the west side of Alton Road, the only type of use permitted on a rooftop, commercial use that is restaurant. You couldn't have a bar, you couldn't have a nightclub, you couldn't have a spa. It would be a restaurant only. That's the only type of use that's permitted within an open rooftop. And that would apply also to the new proposed height increase for office. If somebody wanted to do some type of restaurant, it would be a little bit difficult because in order to take advantage of the height limit, it has to be all office. So there's really not the ability to do a restaurant use on the last floor or on the rooftop. So from a practical standpoint, I don't think you would be seeing that. But outdoor bars and standalone drinking establishments are not permitted on rooftops currently. And that would not be changing with the new legislation that's moving forward.
And so it sounds like with the current legislation and proposed, it could be restaurants, although you're making a practical point that it would be difficult. Could these restaurants have music or speakers? Would that be a possibility?
Yes, under the code, ambient recorded music is allowed. So if somebody wanted to do a building now, say up to 60 feet, they could have a rooftop restaurant If the occupational content was under 300 persons, it wouldn't require planning board approval. If it was over 300, they would have to go to the planning board. But they would be permitted to have recorded music played at ambient background levels.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. We're jumping back to the public here. Usually we stick with it, but we've got a little time this morning, so let's make sure everyone's heard. So I'm going to go back to Joseph Magazine is recognized.
Yeah, thank you, commissioners. Can't help but notice that we're getting very specific here, where we're saying, okay, office use, it's actually only on the west side of Alton Road. We're going to exclude the east side. And just curious, is this, are any of these regulations kind of driven by, reverse engineered by developer demands? Has there been any discussions where developers are saying, okay, where they've actually talked to, whether it be people on the commission or planning board, this is a project that I'm intending to do, and this is why we're making these kind of accommodations? I guess what I'm looking for is any type of disclosure on discussions that have already began being baked in, because this language does seem very specific, almost like we're reverse engineering into projects that may already be in the works. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. What I would say just broadly is that there is a specific proposal traveling legislatively. So there was an item to the commission, it came to land use, and at our last land use meeting, we were the group that said, focus on the west side. So the reason this discussion is sort of channeling, if you will, towards the west side of Alton is because there's an active proposal and it's going to the planning board on the 25th. So that's why this is, in my mind, having the focus. I think hopefully that is helpful. I see another hand. Gail is recognized.
On Terminal Island, that's 100% office, and they're building like a 500 person restaurant on the rooftop. So I respectfully disagree with Mr. Mooney that restaurants are not possible on office rooftops. So that's why it's really important. I mean, I'm representing a lot of people. Everyone asked me to, you know, come on this meeting and talk about this. You know, we're pulling our hair out because it seems like Alton Road is in play to become the next, you know, entertainment district. I mean, everyone's saying it. Everybody knows it. There is a specific office that is being planned on Alton and 7th by Crescent Heights. He's asking for 120 feet for two towers that are going to be offices. First floor are going to be restaurants. So I guess a restaurant could bring food up to the office on the rooftop. So, I mean, if this is our only opportunity to like kill this or tweak it or something, I mean, it's just, you know, we see the future and we're begging you, we're urging you to not let this happen, because you're going to be affecting like 10,000 people live in our neighborhood. And it consistently, you know, usually how these buildings are built is, you know, our living rooms face West Ave, and then in the back of the building is our bedrooms. And it's going to be 20 feet from our bedroom if these activated roofs. So we just thought, you know, somehow we could tweak the ordinance to disincentivize rooftop restaurants, which are basically rooftop bars. I mean, it's the same thing. People, there's 300 people on a roof being served alcohol as of right until, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever it is. So that's what we're asking you to do. And we don't know exactly how to tweak the ordinance. We're looking to the planning board and Mr. Mooney to help us with that. Thank you.
Okay, let's bring it back to the dais. Let's hear from Commissioner Gongora.
Thank you. I have to unmute. This has been an interesting conversation because originally I thought the item was going to be concluded. But now that I'm hearing from residents, I'm hearing a lot of concern about the potential office buildings that got approved to move forward along Alton Road. And I do want to ask a question, because last month I was the lone no vote on moving forward with this proposal. And I am also concerned about office buildings going along the west side of Alton Road with increased height and potential rooftop activations. So since this question was asked, Tom, as the item is currently drafted and moving through the process, what type of rooftop height and uses would be allowed on those Alton Road office buildings on the west side of the street?
So it's probably important to identify the distinction between what is permitted now without the height increase, or if somebody did not want to avail themselves of the proposed height increase if it ends up being adopted, and what you could do if the height increase is adopted in some form in July. Currently under the code, on the west side of Alton Road, you can go up to 60 feet in height if you have at least one level of structured parking. And it can be any mix of residential, hotel, office, or commercial. So if somebody came in with a project on the west side of Alton Road and said, I'm just going to do a 60-foot commercial building at a 1.5 FAR, and it's going to be retail at the first floor, and then I'm going to have office, but at the top floor, I'm going to have a restaurant, and then people can go up to the rooftop and dine. That is currently permitted right now. If somebody wanted to avail themselves of the height bonus of up to 75 feet as currently drafted, and that is adopted, anything above the first floor could only be office, with the exception of a limited number of residential units. So from a practical standpoint, they would not be able to do an office use if they're going to avail themselves of that additional. I mean, they wouldn't be able to do a non-office use if they were going to avail themselves of that additional height. On Terminal Island, the height limit on Terminal Island that was approved was not specific to just office. It was just a general increase in height, since that was a very limited area that was secluded. And so that's why Terminal Island's office building was able to do office at the first 3 to 4 levels, but then at the very top level, have a restaurant. You wouldn't be able to do the same thing on the west side of Alton Road if the height limit is increased, because that height limit is specific to office uses. Unless you're not going to avail yourself of the height increase and build something only at up to 60 feet, at that point, you could potentially have a restaurant at the rooftop. But that is the only use that's permitted, commercial use that is permitted on a rooftop on the west side of Alton Road would be a restaurant.
I'm confused. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it clearly. Currently, as the law stands today, there's a 50-foot height limit, and they could apply to put a restaurant up there. Going through the process. The ordinance that got approved is saying you can go up to 75 feet if you do mostly office, and you're saying that wouldn't allow a restaurant, or you can get a 10-foot bump to 60 feet and put a restaurant?
No, under the current code, the height limit is 50 feet, but you're allowed to go to 60 feet if you're providing at least one level of structured park. That's under the current code. And okay. Under the current code, you can do a restaurant at the rooftop. Under the proposal, you could go up to 75 feet, but you would not be able to do a restaurant because that 75 feet is predicated upon office use only above the first floor.
Does the whole building have to be office, or is this like in Sunset Harbor that the majority has to be office, but it left some wiggle room to do residential or other types of uses on some floors?
It has to be majority office, at least up to 1.5 FAR. If somebody wanted to do up to 0.5 FAR for residential, and they agreed to record a covenant affirming that none of the residential units would be used as short-term rental for at least 30 years, then that is the only exception above the first floor to office uses. They could do a limited number of residential units that are non-short-term rental.
And if they did that, how high could the rooftop additions for equipment go on top of the 75 feet? Is that another extra 20 or 25 feet?
Correct. regardless of whether they do the residential bonus or it's 100% office, the height exception of up to 25 feet for mechanical equipment would still be in place.
Okay, and could, just thinking this one through, because some of the comments got me thinking about it, if they build, let's say, an apartment, can they put their pool and jacuzzi and put a deck up on the roof without the equipment?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And that ordinance is a standalone upzoning, so that one will go through planning board, I assume, and then come back to the commission for two votes like everything else?
Correct. If the planning board transmits that ordinance on May 25th, then a first reading would be scheduled before the city commission on June 23rd.
Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. We have a couple folks back from the public, but let me keep it on the dais here for a minute. So, Tom, I think you're guiding us properly. It's best for us to think about what is changing versus the status quo. So on the height increase proposal, which is going to planning and coming for two rounds, could I just clarify, are restaurants expressly prohibited?
They're not expressly prohibited because under the code, that additional height is only applicable to office space. If somebody wanted to do a restaurant above the ground floor, they would not be able to avail themselves of the 75-foot height increase.
Okay. But if they're doing the height increase, Tom, the 75 feet, which has to be office, then are, in that case, are restaurants expressly prohibited?
They're not expressly prohibited because the 75 feet only applies to office uses or residential. If you wanted to add a belts and suspenders, we could always confirm that in the ordinance. But as drafted, it wouldn't be permitted because the only use permitted with regard to the increased height is office.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I think that is... That is a concern, and I understand it's at planning, so hopefully our planning board will take a hard look at it, and I understand it's coming for two readings. And then what I think would be helpful for this item on the rooftop is to bring it back next month. I'd like to continue the discussion as it relates to what can be done as of right. You know, I guess for me, it's helpful to understand that we could get a bunch of rooftop restaurants. I sense perhaps a little concern around the noise levels. So for this item specific, I would like to have a further discussion next month to allow the West Avenue folks to weigh in. So we're going to focus it on West. We're focused on the current rules as it relates to rooftop activation. I would say one additional thing as it relates to the height, it sounds like we've made some requirements for setbacks, and I just will be looking, and hopefully others will too, at to ensure that we have generous setbacks. It's one thing to have height sort of stacked. And I know you showed us some visuals. They're not in front of me right in the second. But I think if we are going to approve height increases, as I look at that ordinance, you know, as it travels through the commission, and perhaps the community will too, that we ensure we have generous setbacks for any proposed height increase. So that's sort of where I'm at in terms of the item. We usually keep it on the virtual dais. Again, we only have a couple items if the community wants to be heard. So I will go back. Last time here, last call. No pun intended. Wayne Roberts first, then Joseph.
Thank you, Mark. A couple of points. One, you know, land use and planning should be about what is in the best interest of the city. And the question becomes, what does the city gain? I know the developer will gain from extending the height 50%, but what does the city gain? So the city would gain office space that would be primarily used by non-resident people coming into the city as a commuter, you know, clogging up our streets. We don't really gain, you know, they come and go from office to back to their homes. the city doesn't gain, you know, real activity within Alton Road for residents and develop a strong basis for taxation and enjoyment. The idea, the concept is wrong. It's effectively wrong. Office space does not belong on Alton Road. I don't know who came up with this idea, but ultimately there is no real value other than some additional tax revenue from the additional height. But the city gets nothing. We get traffic and headaches. And, you know, I don't know what the special interest is. I don't know what the narrative is, why the narrative exists, but it's so Orwellian in terms of really what planning is about. And, you know, this is a residential side of town, and they're converting it into a tourist and office-based advantage for developers. It's not really for the interests of the city. So, I, you know, take that into consideration. And then rooftop restaurants will just create noise, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to convert it into, like, that movie theater with the – they claim it's, like, a silent movie because they have headphones, but there's a bar with activity in the movie theater. So it's not just restaurants that wind up on Alton Road. And, you know, the last
thing – Mr. Chairman, two minutes are up.
The last thing I want to say is, you know, they say
30 seconds more, Wayne. Wrap in 30 seconds, please.
Thank you. They say the, you know, the west side is being impacted. Once they develop the west side, the east side's going next. That's just the way it works. So they get the west side, and then they go to the east side. So we'll have a big tunnel along Alton Road and a lot of traffic with no advantage to the city. It's just a lame idea. Thank you.
Joseph Magazine. Joseph?
Thank you, commissioners. This has the implication for some very, very serious changes, and my fear is that this really isn't fully vetted with the community. So before moving ahead with any of this, I would urge more public engagement. There's about 10 residents that are aware of what's going on, and I think 8 may be on the call right now. Without beating around the bush, this is for the this language is designed for the proposed project at the mouth of the park on 8th and Alton. 10-story office building there. And you know me, I'm in favor of smart development. I've been in favor of diversifying into office space where it makes sense, along Lincoln Road, parts of Washington Avenue. At the mouth of the Alton flyover will create catastrophic traffic nightmares. I went back to the November and December 2018 or 19 commission meetings, and when the 500 Alton Road was approved in its current form versus the original Waves project, which would have been residential mid-rises along 5, 6, and 7, every single commissioner said, we will give the tower because it will reduce the density in that very congested little pocket right there. This does the exact opposite. It gives the tower 45 stories, but then it also brings a 10 or 11 story office tower to the mouth of the Alton Road flyover, which will back up the MacArthur. It will have catastrophic traffic impact. This is being done for this one project, and it's probably the least, besides the developer owning land there, it's the least practical area for this 11 story office anywhere in the city that I could think of. So I just urge you to really engage the community because nobody is aware of this. So thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Commissioner Areola, and then over to Commissioner Gongora.
Couple thoughts. Like with rooftop activations, I mean, if folks are really worried about that, I mean, I think we can address it. I don't think any of us want to see, you know, a gazillion restaurants on top of buildings creating, you know, noise and disturbing residents. But I will say that generally speaking, you know, the top of buildings don't make for successful restaurants. If you think about just in Dade County, there aren't a lot of them for a reason. One is restaurants and retail tend to do much better at street level where they have high visibility. It's few and far between where you have restaurants that are on top of buildings. Normally they're subsidized and normally they're, you know, tourist traps. People are doing it for the views. in any city, in our own city, we only have a handful. In Miami Beach, you've got Uvia. I'm not aware of that being a major disturbance to anybody. So I think this is much ado about nothing, that there's going to be a lot of restaurants on top of these buildings, but we can address it so that we calm the residents so they don't have anything to be worried about. And then, you know, I think we need to just challenge the premise that some people say, you know, about traffic nightmares and stuff. I remember when Trader Joe's was approved, everyone said that the corner of 17th Street was going to just be riddled in gridlock. And I live a couple blocks away, and that's just never come to materialize. So just because somebody says something doesn't mean that it's true or going to come to fruition. So I think we just need to be cool and level-headed and see these things through and not just react to hyperbole and, you know, outrageous accusations. So I look forward to continuing to work through this and do the best that we can for the city and our residents.
Thank you, Commissioner Arriola. Commissioner Gongora.
Yes, thank you. This conversation has kind of taken on a different twist. I happen to agree with most of the comments by Joseph Magazine. I am very concerned. I think that office uses should be incentivized in appropriate areas. And that's why I've supported the city's own, I think, RFLI or whatever process we're doing for Lincoln Road and areas that abut the commercial heart of Miami Beach, where we're trying to incentivize people going. I stated at the last land use meeting, and I still am of the opinion, that adding height at the entranceway to South Beach, right where you come over the flyover, before we even see the impact of the Galbit Tower, to go ahead and start blanket upzoning the west side of Alton Road, right when you come over the flyover, is a very dangerous proposition for traffic. I happen to agree with Wayne's comments, because what happens is, if those get approved, then people start saying, okay, now we have a shell with 75 feet height. Maybe we'll change the use of the rooftop, like the example that was given for the theater with the little headphones. People will come with different uses. So once the height's there, we start changing the uses of the rooftop. Once the height's on the west side of Alton Road, hey, why not the east side? We're now creating a business corridor. And I think we need to think very carefully about what we want Miami Beach to look like. I actually prefer land use changes that are brought to me normally by a development team more than ones that we invent. No particular land use owner has come to me, at least on Alton Road, with a proposed project for their building. So this idea that we should incentivize more height there is very concerning to me, not only because of the specific item that we're hearing today, which is the additional rooftop height that they get for their mechanical equipment and what have you, which takes it to 100 feet. I'm concerned about traffic. I'm concerned about potential changes that come after the fact, next step changes. Now the height is there, let's add different uses to the roof, or let's proliferate. So I hope that we consider the resident concerns very carefully, and I don't think many of them watch our land use meetings. We have very few participants today. But as this moves forward, I think there should be robust public outreach, certainly to Wavna and Flamingo Park and whatever other resident groups are going to be impacted by these changes.
Thank you, Commissioner Gongora. Commissioner Arriola, I see your hand. I don't know if that's a leftover or if you have additional comments.
It's a leftover, sorry.
Okay. That's only $10 to our pot here, but I'll be contributing soon too. And we'll put it to good use. Okay, colleagues, let's bring this in for a landing here. We're clearly very focused on what's happening on Alton Road. And so what I would say is that we've had a good discussion about concerns for the potential rooftop activation with any potential height. And I also at least have gone on the record feeling that we need robust setbacks. That item is at planning. That's where I believe this conversation next goes, and that the public should have substantial opportunity there. For this item specifically, I would like to bring it back next month, and I would like to bring it back strictly in this West Avenue, Alton Road neighborhood with the notion for what is allowed today by right and how do we minimize any impacts of noise, rooftop activation. Maybe it has to do with the music. Maybe it's limiting those uses. And so I'd like to bring this item back with a strict focus on that, which will allow the community to engage further. So to the comment about the community engaging, they can go to planning board and engage on the item we've talked about, and that'll come for two readings at the commission. And for existing uses, my ask here is that we bring this back next month. Tom, is that clear from your end at least?
Yes, when it comes back in May, Commissioner, we'll modify the memo to be more specific to what is currently permitted on the west side of Alton Road and discussing some of the things that have been brought forward today.
Perfect. Colleagues, if that's okay, we're just going to bring it back again and discuss with a more narrow focus. I don't see any objections. I like to say silence is acceptance. And so let's show that done by acclamations. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you to the public. I think that was a productive discussion on a number of fronts. With that, let's go to item number 5. I will tee this up. We had a very good discussion several months back where there was concern raised by the community about suite hotels, specifically in the West Avenue overlay. And we took action and we passed an ordinance. And the notion here, again, bottom up from the community, is that bed and breakfasts may present a similar concern, a similar risk. And so I thought this needed to be addressed. And let me bounce it over to Tom to give us some of the specifics of what we might do and where we go from here. Tom, please.
Okay. As the committee may remember, last year an ordinance was adopted that removed suite hotels as an allowable use in the West Avenue overlay area. Previously, suite hotels were only permitted as part of a renovation of an existing building. So the suite hotel provision was designed to incentivize the retention and renovation of these post-war modern buildings in the West Avenue area. However, as a number of these buildings have been replaced with new residential structures, concern was expressed about adding or multiplying transient uses through suite hotels. So the suite hotel component was removed. Similar concerns have been expressed regarding the currently allowable bed and breakfast inns within West Avenue. And it's important to point out that a bed and breakfast inn is a transient use as well. It's only allowed in single family structures. So within the West Avenue area, there is a limited area that has a number of existing single family structures where bed and breakfast inns are permitted. And while there have not been any bed and breakfast inns conversions within the area, we did send out an email earlier this week identifying one property that is significantly expanding an existing single family residence. As of right now, there's no indication that they're going to change the use, but that's not to say that they couldn't change the use at some point in the future. So as was done with the proposal to remove suite hotels as an allowable use within the overlay, we've attached a draft ordinance that would eliminate bed and breakfast as an allowable use within the overlay. We would still be leaving in residential offices as an allowable use in the overlay in case somebody wants to avail themselves of a residential office as part of a renovation of an existing building. But the attached ordinance would remove bed and breakfast. One thing I would point out, there was a good catch by one of the residents. In the draft ordinance that we sent before you, we neglected to cross out bed and breakfast in section 142-842 and 142-843. So that is noted. If the land use committee is favorably disposed, we would recommend that you send this draft ordinance as amended to the city commission for referral to the planning board. Since this would be an LDR amendment, it would have to be referred to the planning board. The planning board would then make a recommendation and transmit it back to the full commission.
Thank you, Tom. And I will kick it off. I am favorably inclined. This is exactly what we did with suite hotels. This was bottom up, driven by the community. So, you know, my inclination here is to move it exactly as Tom has recommended. So, Commissioner Gongora.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Samuel. And I agree. And actually, it's, you know, I always like this because you've really been moving it forward. But back in 2013, I sponsored the original ordinance that prohibited hotel uses within the West Avenue area. And I know you strengthened that last year by the prohibition on suite hotels. And this is the next step forward against bed and breakfasts to protect the neighborhood. So I'll move it forward as recommended by the administration.
Wonderful. Okay, and let me just see if anyone else wants to be heard. Okay, we got one hand. Let's see, I don't see anyone else on the dais. Gail, we're just about to wrap the item here, so quick comment.
Yeah, that's very quick. Just in general, I just wanted you guys to know that when we have our West Avenue neighborhood meetings, we used to have them before COVID every other month, over 100 people would attend, and no matter what was on our agenda, people always wanted to talk about eliminating short-term rentals. That seems to be the number one topic that people are most upset about. You know, living next to a hotel or having a short-term rental in a apartment unit right inside their building. So that's why we like this ordinance, and thank you for moving it forward.
Thank you for your comments. Let's see if I see any other hands. Commissioner Arriola, can we do this by acclamation? Do you have any anything else you want to add on this one?
No, I support this. You know, Gail talked about short-term rentals. I agree. I mean, it is something that, you know, that's come up in the last, you know, decade or, you know, dozen years, and it really is a big, big problem. And, you know, city planners never anticipated this, right? And so we're preempted by state law. And, you know, I thought about this before and never brought it up, but Gail's comment reminded me. Unfortunately, the city, you know, has its hands tied by state legislation. But, you know, condominiums can write their own restrictions. And I'd like to lean on my colleague, Commissioner Gongora, because it's your area of expertise. But can the city help condominiums draft documents so that they can be more restrictive, because private property can be more restrictive than we can? And I know, you know, I think all of us have seen some buildings, unfortunately, that are run by condo boards that don't want to prohibit short-term rentals, but there's a lot of buildings that do. And, you know, could we appoint an ombudsman or, you know, someone from our legal department to work with condo boards to help them put restrictions into their buildings so that condo buildings themselves can be more restrictive than we're permitted to be?
Commissioner Gongora, I see your hand up.
No, I love this question. Obviously, I'm always interested in condo associations, and I'd welcome any input from legal. My thoughts on this topic are that typically, the developer drafts the declaration of condominium and other governing documents, and there's a mechanism contained therein to amend it. You know, some are easier than others. Some require up to 75% of all units. Some have a much lesser quorum, but they have an amendment procedure. So condos can change their residency periods through amending their governing documents. The difficulty that condominium associations have, in my opinion, is enforcement, because most condo boards and associations budget just for their needs, not for additional legal needs. And it becomes very onerous and difficult for condominium associations to be able to prove that there's short-term rental violations going on in their building. Oftentimes, they have to hire a private investigator to literally come in and pretend to be that renter and rent a unit and gather that evidence. Then they have to pay a lawyer to either bring forth an arbitration or a court case for injunction. And it can be thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. So some of them choose to look the other way. Some of them choose to try to fine the unit owner or just prosecute the most egregious cases. I think more so than legal assistance, if there was some way that code could perhaps help investigate these a bit more, it would be helpful. The difficulty is, if it's legal under city code, then code doesn't, I don't think, get as involved just because it violates a condo restriction. So I think that's why the short-term rental prohibition is helpful, because for those condominium buildings located in areas where short-term rental restrictions are also prohibited, they have that easier enforcement mechanism of calling code and having them do the heavy lifting. I don't know if anybody from the city has further thoughts or comments.
Commissioner Gongora, I would just add, you're right that code, our code compliance staff can't enforce private condo restrictions. I don't know. I think there have been recent discussions about somebody in the city administration designated to assist on condo issues generally. But I think if a condo association were to amend its condo docs, generally they use their own counsel, because that would be a private legal matter for the association. Eric, is this something that the ombudsperson could assist maybe the smaller condos with?
We actually have a representative from the state that is holding office hours on a weekly basis in City Hall to help condo associations with these type of issues. So, you know, we're trying to facilitate the condos having, you know, additional resources at their fingertips. If there's an additional step that needs to be taken, we're certainly willing to look into that also.
Yeah, I think it's great, by the way. And Spencer Hemmings, I think, is our ombudsman that the governor appointed. And, you know, for a bit of trivia, he's our former beloved mayor, Harold Rosen's grandson. So it's good that he is having office hours. But I think the ombudsman, and the powers and duties are defined in Florida Statute 718.5012, is more related to efficiencies and reports to the governor, acting as a liaison between board members and the community. But their biggest power is really monitoring elections and meetings. I don't think he has the authority to actually get into how condo documents are amended and enforced. The bulk of the power, as I understand it, falls around how elections and meetings are conducted.
Okay, thank you for that educational dialogue. And just building on Eric's comment, public service announcement, the condo ombudsman, who I too have had the chance to meet, Spencer Hemmings, is at City Hall, Miami Beach City Hall. He's a state official who's spending time Fridays, 10 to 2, first floor conference room, and that there is a resource there available to the community. Okay, colleagues, with that, we can show this done by acclamation, accepting the city administration recommendation regarding the bed and breakfast overlay prohibition, item 5, and moving it forward, as Tom had indicated, I believe, to planning and then to the commission. Tom, do you have what you need on that item? And are there any outstanding issues in front of the board at this point?
No, just to confirm on this item, we would be taking it to the commission. We can place it on there's enough time for us to place it on the May 12th agenda, the C4 agenda, for referral to the planning board. And then after the planning board transmits it, it'll come back to you for two readings.
Absolutely. That sounds correct. And we've covered all the agenda items?
Correct. I don't have anything else.
And we got $10 from Commissioner Areola for charity. I see Commissioner Gongora's hand, and if I do it, you know, we could get a good fund going there. So, colleagues, thank you. Thank you to the administration, as always. Progress, and hope everyone has a wonderful rest of day. And we'll see many of you at 5 o'clock tonight for our special commission meeting.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you all.